This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
So how are we doing this intro? You guys are duetting? You're doing...
That's what I was told. I mean, I got to read the lyrics, but yeah. Like, I'm going to read and sing.
Uh-huh. I was already practicing.
I practiced it.
You don't need it? Wow, that was a... Excuse me for asking.
You guys are going to be okay. This generation's...
Go ahead and sing it.
Generation Hall and Oates.
This generation's Anita Baker and Michael McDonald.
It's got reverb on.
Yo, I did it.
You did.
Right?
Do you... I mean, you're in a band, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're and you're the singer. Singer in a band?
Yeah.
Why did you talk that?
Well, I'm more of a spoken word singer.
That's not true. I've seen you sing.
More of a Lou Reed
more
style?
More of a Lou Reed, yeah, Lou
yeah,
Reed.
You know, that it doesn't...
Little Bob Dylan. Does
taking
Bob Dylan
a walk
do
on
too?
The wild side doesn't quite fit that.
Yeah. I don't know how aggressive you wanted me to get.
What? You're... As... Not as... I've seen you perform. You're like screaming and kicking and jumping around. Wait, you... What's up? You don't like my show?
When I'm not on stage, I'm an introvert. You know what it is? Podcasting stresses me out.
You have one.
I know, I have one, yeah.
You've been on several.
Yeah, they stress me out.
This right now is a high-stress situation?
Yeah, am I stressing you out?
High stress.
Wait, seriously?
You don't stress me out, no.
But my show stresses you out?
No.
You just said you got stressed on
podcasts. I said podcast stressed me out.
Is this show stressing you out?
No.
Are you a bad liar?
The balls are on fire, ready to take to the top.
You don't like my song, huh?
No, I loved it. I was dying laughing when I was driving over here playing it.
You guys had the energy of like a pro wrestling tag team.
Yeah.
Doing your entrance right there.
Who are those brothers?
Bushwhackers.
Bushwhackers.
I'm sure you know them personally, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with them, right?
Yeah, right.
You did?
I am a bushwhacker.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'm just riffing.
Oh, you're just riffing? Okay.
Weren't they an Australian WWF tag team?
Yeah. That's
right.
Those guys were Australian?
No.
Weren't they?
No.
The Bushwhackers?
No.
I don't remember.
I mean, they were. It's like, was the Iron Sheik?
Yeah. At one point in time, there was...
Don't break my heart.
The wrestler from New Zealand.
The wrestler Kane.
There you go. Close enough. Okay? Same thing.
You better watch your mouth.
You can't hit him with the close enough.
That's not
New
cool.
Zealand.
That's not cool, man. I mean, I'm like, half New Zealand.
Man, you whacked one bush.
Kane, where for the longest time, he talked through a machine. Then you realize years later, the guy can actually talk. So
he's not really from hell.
No, he's not really from hell.
Fun fact.
Yeah, very fun fact.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. I know.
Actually, the Undertaker, believe it or not, is alive.
Yeah.
He's alive, yeah.
He has been the whole time.
Yeah, Kane. Yeah. Uh-huh. Grew up in Peoria.
Did you know that The Undertaker likes to vacation at
Turks and Caicos?
Turks and Caicos?
Yeah.
Really?
I know.
I don't really dig the
you say island
beach
F-bombs
shit.
A lot.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, do I need to slow down on the F-bombs?
Just the first 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You've already said five.
Damn, have I?
Yeah.
Darn.
Is it because you're nervous?
I'll say darn.
Makes no sense.
We'll say darn. So darn, I darn not like... Yeah.
Can we dub his darn for the first 5 F-bombs that he did.
He talked through a darn machine, then you realize, no, I loved it. I was dying laughing when I was driving over here
darn
playing it. I'm not, I don't really dig the
darn
you say island it. Darn F-bombs shit. A lot. McCone can do it.
That's a tight edit. Yeah, what were we talking about? Turks
and Caicos, yeah.
Yeah, I don't dig any of that kind of,
you know,
going to the water.
You're obviously a huge fan of my show. You saw a Batman episode, right?
I don't even know a podcast that I've actually like watched or listened to
ever.
I mean, there was a Rogan one I probably listened to, right, for sure.
Because your friend was on it or something.
No, it was a guy that was pretty interesting. He was this black dude who got like over like 200 something KKK members to like leave the Klan. And I thought that was a pretty
interesting. Is that the movie?
His name's Daryl Davis. No, that's Klansman. That's a different story. But right. This guy named Daryl Davis.
Yeah,
he's like a. There he is, bottom left. The way he's gotten them to do it is just he just has conversations that just got to know these guys, and then
he didn't eat them.
Nah, and then I guess just hearing these dudes like, I guess these dudes probably just hearing what they're saying and their ideology, and they're probably like, "Yo, this is dumb."
Yeah.
So then I think that's why they probably, and he's a good guy. You know, he showed them a side of like humanity that they've probably never seen before.
To be a black guy and to talk to the Klansmen with an open heart shows that you have a lot of love in your heart.
Oh, for sure.
Because it'd be very difficult not to be like, you know what, man?
Let me just beat your ass.
Yes.
Right?
Let me just... You know what? I'll change my mind.
Yeah.
Come outside. Let me talk to you for a second.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, man, come on. Those
but
guys.
But no, yeah. That episode, that's probably... I mean, I probably watched another one, but that's probably the only one I've actually liked.
Well, the only reason I brought it up is because Batman was on the show the other day, and a friend of mine that's on the show a lot, he was on the Serious Show, he's actually a friend of mine in real life, The Dingo, he's a very funny man himself.
Good. Yes, I've seen The Dingo.
Yeah, you've seen.
I used to see him on, like, Fantasy Factory and shit.
Yep, he's been on there, he's good friends with Rob. Nope, not at all.
All right, I lied.
He kind of runs the celebrity team of Monster.
That's tight.
Like when you see celebrities saying, I like energy too, it's probably Dingo that did that.
You sure he's never made a rap album?
No, he cannot rap. He can't read or really speak. Yeah. But I love him to death.
We put him on our albums to rap and it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, no, he just started spracking off about stuff that didn't rhyme at all.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, Dingo, for thinking that you rap.
He's an all-terrain vehicle.
He's
lovable.
He's like the definition of a universal language.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like just lovable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he's like a guy that human, can like universally just
he's
be
like
anywhere.
A human puppy dog.
He's like this generation's Crocodile Dundee.
It's like that, pretty much. Because everybody loves Crocodile Dundee. You
friend,
know who that
friend
is.
Right? To all
I know who he is, but I don't know much about
him. You don't like him?
I don't know him.
Seems like you don't like him.
I didn't say I didn't like him.
Seemed like that.
I said I didn't know him.
You seem uptight today, man.
I'm not uptight.
Are we cool?
Yeah, we're great. I love you.
Okay, well, relax, man.
I am relaxed, am I?
Oh, you seem tense. The way you sung that song was like you didn't like my show.
No, I was just trying to really remember the lyrics.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you could scream it if you knew the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed if I scream it, I know the lyrics, and if I talk it, I don't.
Also, I was going off the way you sang it.
You couldn't. I was singing it. My microphone didn't. Your microphone.
No, it was the video I watched.
I sing it. I scream it.
Not when I saw it. Look at you looking confused. I know what I saw when I saw it.
I'm trying to. Maybe there was a time where you did it different. I'm just trying to think of when that would have been. I feel like it's been pretty consistently. Yep. I'm trying to help you out. I want to help.
So the black man's a liar.
Same. You don't have to put black on it. I know you're trying to flinch me because I'm so pasty, but yeah, man, you're darn lying. How about that? Care what color you are, asshole. Try to deflect. Oh, you're coming after the black guy, Jason. I'm like, what? Am I? No, I like black people. I think, like, what's going on? No, you're just lying. You're just a dude that lies.
I know. I'm sorry.
Can you dunk? Because you can do a backflip standing.
I used to be able to dunk.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Not because you're black, just because you can do a backflip and that takes a leap.
Yeah. Hey. But it was like, it took me a while to like really understand. I can't do it no more, but I used to be able to like get up there and like.
I used to be able to dunk a smaller bowl.
Yeah.
Because I had like just enough of
a. But you got big hands.
Yeah, but it was more the ball's size and my if I came across the face of it, I could dunk it into the corner
Yeah,
the side of the hoop. If I come straight on, I would get denied every time.
Yeah.
So I was missing about 4 inches of leap.
How'd you find that?
He did backflips all the time. What you talking about?
Where'd you find that out?
On YouTube.
I mean, that is...
Yeah, I
can't. I used to do backflips.
That was back in the day.
Oof.
Wait, you're saying you can't do it now?
No, not that good. Hell no.
But you can still do one?
I can still do it, just not that good.
See, that's interesting.
I gained a lot more weight. I need to lose weight.
Why did you gain weight? Are you a vegan?
Huh? No, I'm not a vegan. I'm vegetarian. I still love pizza. I like carbs.
Okay.
Carbs are fucking great.
That's why, though.
I know. Yeah.
Because carbs are the enemy.
Carbs are the enemy.
They are.
And they try to tell you, all these fucking things that try to tell you, like, where they're like, you can lose weight and still eat all your favorite foods. I'm like, no, I can't.
Oh, no, that's if you run marathons.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
If you swim as much as like an Olympic swimmer every day, all day for like 8 hours,
yeah, man,
you can eat whatever you want.
Michael Phelps had the craziest diet because
of what he was doing in the day. Yeah,
yeah,
dude, I've lost weight for a fight where I trained somewhere and I was cutting weight to make a certain weight for the fight, and I trained at a gym for 2 hours. Did a bunch of strength and conditioning, and then I sparred somebody for like 50 minutes, and then we both got on the scale, and I'd already made weight for the fight.
Oh, wow.
Because I was in there for 2 hours, and this guy, particular gym, he loved to close the outside and have it get hot in there.
Yeah.
So it's good for conditioning, because I remember there was a time, because I'm a sweaty guy, if I stood in the same spot for more than 2 seconds, the padding where my weight was making a dent in the padding would start to fill up as a puddle and my foot would slip.
Yeah.
Because it was just pouring off me. Like more than being in a 200-degree sauna. It was just showering off me. Every punch flying everywhere.
But how great do you feel when it's over?
What do you mean?
Like that's got to be like a great feeling. Like you went through like, you know, this hell, you know, with all the doors closed and sweating. And then when it's over, you're like, I don't know. I feel therapeutic.
Not straight away, because you're still in hell, and then being in the gym, still in hell. But once I got out in the cold, because it'd be nighttime, and then I'd get the cold on me, and then I would have water or electrolytes, and the electrolytes going in me, I could feel it going into my stomach and like spreading around in me
because
I had nothing left. That felt good. Same with cutting weight. When you get to drink and eat after cutting weight, there's a euphoric feeling to
that's what I love. Because like in cheerleading, like we were practicing, like our gyms were almost similar, like kind of like warehouse type shit. Yeah. Where they take like a warehouse and put all the, you know.
You didn't cut weight to be in
no,
that.
No, it's not that you cut weight, but like I lived in Arizona. I grew up in Arizona.
Okay, yeah.
So like those warehouses in the summertime is just like brutal. But I always loved that feeling like of just like we're just kicking our asses, you know, for, you know, 2-3 hours or whatever of practice. And then Once practice was over, it's just like,
well, I feel you flush your system out.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, whenever you flush your system out, maybe it, like whatever you put in next is going to deter how you're going to feel for the next couple of hours. But if you put something good in after you flush your system out, all you have in you is good.
Yeah.
Which, as you know, because I know you hang out with Toby, and eating clean or eating good is a thing that if you're on the cutting edge of fitness.
He does that. I mean.
He's running all the time.
I know what I
look
like.
Is this happening? Are you getting bigger because your stand-up career is so much better and you're on the road constantly?
No.
Because I've noticed that with comics. The up late, no food.
Yeah.
You get to the hotel and it's like, we only have this. And it's like, we're on the plane. You only have this.
Okay, yeah. Actually, you know what? I can say that's fair now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, before I started hitting the road consistently,
yeah,
I wasn't that big. But you know what? I should have the discipline and stuff like that. Also, let me put it to you like this. I needed to know what it was like to feel like what fat is. You know what I mean?
Is this the biggest you've ever been?
This is the biggest I've ever been.
Really?
Yeah. Bro, OG me was back in the day. Like, I was
darn.
Wow. Right here.
That's not you.
Yeah, so
that is not
right
you.
Right here. That's me at 22 years old.
Oh my. What was that?
I was about, how old was I? Yeah, I was 22. And I think I was probably one.
Dude!
One.
No wonder you can do a backflip fat.
Yeah, right.
That is easy.
You kind of just.
Dude, you can do. Oh, you did.
standing front flip is the sickest.
Yeah, I was a wild
double flip.
But there's a part where I have my shirt off. You'll see.
You got abs.
Yeah, you'll see it. It's coming up right after this. It's coming up right after this.
That's got to be so fun.
Yeah. You got to realize that was me every day. That's me throwing. Not that part. The next part is me without the shirt. You'll see it right now. Right there.
Right there.
So I was just yarn.
Dude.
You know?
Dude, you are jacked. Man, that is a gay jump right there.
Yeah. Bro, when I cheer, bro, it's borderline gay, bro.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong.
Hey, everybody. Remember Liquid Death? I do. It's the greatest water out of all the waters, and it's the coolest water out of all the waters, and it's the friendliest water for the environment out of all the waters. So that's a triple threat.
And it's the most metal of all soft drinks. I'm the kind of guy who spends a lot more days than I wish I did at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And everybody at Disneyland sucks. And when you're at Disneyland, you kind of suck too.
It's true.
But you do feel, a man feels like he salvages a tiny little bit of his dignity when he is able to reach into his stroller and pull out a frosty can of Liquid Death and make his day at Disneyland just a little bit metal.
Dude, with all the new flavors they have, like, check it out. If you're a soda drinker, like, all these different flavors that they have, there's just no calories in it. Is it as sugary as, like, the mainstream sugar drinks? No. But it's not bad for you in any way, and it, like, stops you from, like, putting on pounds, and you're still drinking. You're getting a drink that's, like, because to me, I love sugar, man. And these things are, like, a cheat to me. I get away with it. I get away with murder.
Yep. Speaking of getting away with it, you can get free shipping of Liquid Death's Mountain Water, flavored, sparkling, and iced tea 8-packs with Amazon Prime. Or grab a can or a case at your local 7-Eleven, Target, Walmart, Whole Foods, Instacart. It's everywhere. Go to liquiddeath.com/LS. Check out all their healthy, infinitely recyclable beverages and find your closest retailer. That is liquiddeath.com/LS. liquiddeath.com/LS. How does one get into that? I always wondered.
I had a huge crush on this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's the story, huh?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Is that how you got into it?
Yep.
How did it work out?
How did it work out? Well, you see him here, don't you?
Yeah.
Single as shit. You single?
Yeah, single. Yeah.
Are you dating?
You know what? Actually, so my first relationship ever was at 31. We were together for 4 years.
Wait, did you bone people?
Yeah. But we were together for 4 years, and then we broke up like 2 years ago. And so I pretty much stopped doing everything because I, like, those feelings I had were so strong. Yeah. And I've never been in love before.
Yeah.
And
that's
And I didn't want like a rebound type of thing. So I just didn't do anything.
Oh, wow.
So for the past 2 years, I almost went like full monk.
Wow.
Yeah.
By choice. So when girls would be like, hey, you're pretty funny, I like that backflip. You're like, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And you never had a feeling of like, man, why not just a little, you were dead set on not hooking up.
I went on like maybe like a couple dates here and there.
But not to bone.
But no, not to bone. I just couldn't find it in myself to like do that.
You were real heartbroken, huh?
Yeah. That's my first relationship ever. Yeah.
Dude.
Like I said, that was my first relationship ever.
Why'd she break up with you? If this is too personal, you can say
no. No, it wasn't anything. And like, we don't have bad blood or anything like that. What are you doing, kitty?
Are you licking your pants?
There was no bad blood or anything like that. It's just, I think there was things.
She live in LA?
Yeah, I think there was things of her life that she wanted. She just wanted to fucking do something different for herself. And she felt like she wasn't really in a place where she really could like really fucking have a longevity in relationship. So.
After 4 years.
Yeah, and that's what she felt bad about, you know.
That she dragged it for 4 years before she figured that out.
Yeah, but
she
also,
should feel bad.
I don't take it, like, personal. It's like, okay, that's life. I mean...
Your body probably took it personal.
My body?
I'm not saying... Relax.
I am chunky because of it.
I don't mean that. I mean, dude, to me, sometimes I've understood things in my head, mm-hmm. and I've gone, that's what it is.
And then later on, it seems like I still haven't moved on. And that's when I say body. It's like my soul hasn't figured it out.
Oh, yet. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like mentally, I understand. Okay, it's over. And then for some weird reason, I'm still like, I'm still living in this misery. Like, why am I doing that when I know it's over?
So that's that was me too. You know, like with that. So I was like, hey, you shouldn't do anything if you're like still feeling that. You should like sit down, and you got to let yourself come off of this this high.
That is really smart.
Yeah,
it's very grown up.
I know. I'm pretty fucking stoic. You know, I read a lot of stoicism and shit like that. So that kind of like
is stoicism
guided me.
A word.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that kind of like guided me through that whole process.
But and you're not kidding.
I just started reading.
You read the Stoics.
Yeah, yeah. So I started reading like a lot. Like the Daily Stoic. I read like, you know, my anger was like at a level that, you know, because I've gone through like three different anger management teachers.
Are you okay with him being on you?
You know what's kind of funny?
What?
Cats terrify me.
And you're just letting him creep out on you?
Yeah.
He is white too. Does that bother you?
Nah, I love white people.
You are used to white people.
Yeah, I am used to. But like cats, like usually, like it's when they're on me that they terrify me. But
your parents
just
never
around,
had cats?
No. But
so you right want me now, to get him off? Right now, you're terrified.
No, I'm pretty stoic.
You want me to get him off?
Listen, one thing I learned.
I can put him
stoicism,
in the bedroom if you want.
Here's the funniest thing. One thing I learned in stoicism is pretty much like it's the way I say. I'll say it the way I say it. But it's like, why would I flinch if nothing's happened? So,
for the uninitiated, how would you boil down what is the school of thought, the school of philosophy that is Stoicism?
It's all making it about you and no one else. It's all you're bringing everything down to yourself and not anyone else. So, like, you know, one of the things is like try not to suffer from imagined thoughts. You know what I mean? Which is a thing that I like, you know, struggle with. And that's like where the anger like kicks in. That's why I get so angry.
Yeah.
Like my anger gets to a point to where like I want to hurt.
Somebody, right?
Yeah,
me too.
Like it gets to that point, but I've like I said, I've gone through three different anger management teachers, and you know, like I've been going to anger. I went through anger management all the way from like 15 to like 20 something. Right. You know what I mean? And so I kind of just used a lot of their teachings and kind of like carried that on to today. And actually, my ex is the one that told me about Stoicism because she was like, "This is like kind of who you are." And then once I started reading like a lot of the shit, I was like, "Oh wow." I connect with it so much, you know what I mean? But one of the biggest things is like, yeah, just bringing everything to like making everything about you and not necessarily anyone else and bringing it down to yourself.
When you say that, you mean like if there's a problem, you guys have a disagreement or somebody has a disagreement, you don't worry about what their side of it is. You just worry about your side of
it. Yeah. It's like, I got to worry about my reaction, not their reaction. You know what I mean?
I can relate to the anger and wanting to hurt people.
Oh my gosh.
Like I wouldn't say I'm completely past it, but I don't think I've ever been further away from it in my entire life.
There's times I've had like in my head, like good friendships, if we have like a slight disagreement, there's times in my head where I'm like, fuck them.
Right.
Like straight up.
Yep.
And like I visualize the friendship ending off of something that, and meanwhile, we haven't even talked about it yet.
Me too.
But I just know it's like, Like I just
boiling your own blood.
Boiling.
Yep.
Okay. But you got to realize I grew up very violent.
How do you mean that?
I grew up, my stepfather was like abusive and shit.
You were adopted and your stepfather was?
No. So I was with my biological mom and my stepfather. And then I was adopted into a white family after that.
Okay. So the white family was not abusive.
But the
damage was already done.
They fucking love Michael Bublé and shit. But the damage was already done. Yeah.
I understand
But also, here's the thing. I don't. So I guess this is an easy way
similar,
to explain stoicism. So
I grew up with the black family too.
You did?
Yeah.
Hell yeah! Come on, bro. Let's do that, bro. That's why we fucking get along. But so I don't have any fucking hate towards my stepfather at all.
Yeah.
So because I learned about him, right? I learned a lot about him. Yeah. Understood what he went through and the things that happened to him. And so I've kind of just taken that. I understand what happened between he and I, but like as far as like what it is today, like I mean the dude texted me on my birthday this year and I can't remember the last time that man's ever said happy birthday to me.
Why do you think this year and not all the other years?
I think it's just cuz I've like grown into a person to where like I'm like, hey, not that I've ever asked for an apology or need an apology, but I've kind of just taken it upon myself to just be nice to him.
Because you weren't in the past?
I just didn't talk to him. I was very stoned.
Because of the things that happened in your childhood.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
But also, I don't want to, like,
because you know that the anger you keep to him is the anger that you're keeping with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yes.
You're punishing yourself for his mistakes.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then once my mom, you know, I just started asking my mom questions. I was like, yo, what was his childhood like?
Yeah.
And then I started learning this shit. I was like, oh. And then I realized he didn't get the things that I got, which is the you know, these books and someone like, you know, someone kind of sticking their hand out to me and like helping me up.
Right.
He didn't get that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, why would I hate the dude? You know what I mean? No, it's just kind of boring. And also it's such a boring thing to me now. Like, it's exhausting to just be like, fuck that guy. And it, like, I've had people go, oh man, like, fuck that dude. And like, I hate him. I go, I don't.
Right.
I don't hate him. Yeah. So. Well, you also, it's my fucking stepdad, bitch.
But you gotta let
it
go.
Sorry, that was aggressive.
You gotta let it go.
That was aggressive.
I can't speak on your behalf, but objectively, it looks like it's like this person already took something away from you for a period of time, and you can't change that. Well, they made your life less optimal than it could have been, but that doesn't have to be. That doesn't mean you have to let them continue to affect the rest of your life.
Well, the thing is like, I get what you're saying on that part too, and I agree. But after I dissected it all, when I realized it, I was like, oh, he really didn't take anything from me. You know, like it may have seemed that way, but when I really think about it, like, I did a lot of dope shit. You know, like
with him.
No. I've never felt like a son. Right. So like, yeah, like the whole parents thing is like a weird thing to me. But
were your step parents like a father? Was he like a father to you, your stepdad? Your adopted father. Sorry.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, and also I reconnected with my biological father.
And how is he?
He's good too. Like, like all three of them are very active in my life. But it's just like, I just never felt like a son. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I've like bounced around so much.
Yeah.
Like, so like that world is like confusing to me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing, but it's just, I think
it's hard for you to relate to other people because you don't have the same, you have this weird upbringing where you got all these people bouncing you around.
Yeah, for sure.
People that grew up with a dad that loved them, that was their dad from the get-go.
Yeah.
Don't understand what it's like to be you.
Exactly.
And you can feel it. Even if you guys can't discuss it with each other by using words, you feel different than the other person.
Yeah, also it's like, because like we're all like in a good position now, and I'm 37. So it's like I'm 37 years old, and it's like trying to feel like a son is like, I mean, maybe one day I will.
Yeah.
But I mean, as of right now, like I've just never really, like I know I've never felt that before.
Yeah.
You know, and it's no disrespect to like, you know, any of them at all. They're fucking amazing people. Like, I mean, I think the relationship with my stepfather is fucking dope. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, let's be honest. Like, it is what it is. What happened is what happened.
Yeah.
But also, like, I know what happened to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's like, I don't know. I just come to a point in my life where I've seen it do more damage to myself to fucking feel the other way.
Right. And now you're in a position where, you know, you got your career and you've got, the friends that I know that are your friends are some of the greatest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah,
1,000. Special people, really are.
1,000%.
And you have that in your life, and to spend any time in regret or resentment at your past is a waste of time.
Yeah.
When you can look forward now to, I mean, dude, you're a regular at the store. To me, is like, you know, as a comedian, that is the pinnacle.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know there's things to look through after that.
For
but
sure, but
to
it's,
me,
it,
it's
but
like,
it is a
legendary.
Nice thing to, it's a nice thing to carry.
You know,
for
like
sure.
You've come and you didn't get it handed to you. You worked your ass off to get there, you know?
But I've always been that way since I was a kid because I've never. So, like, validation is a weird thing to me. I've never been one because I've never gotten it. I didn't get it from, you know, my household.
Yeah.
So now,
when you're validated, does it feel suspicious?
Yeah, I'm like, why you say that?
Yeah. when the comedy store told you that they wanted you to be a regular, did you enjoy that?
All my friends, they get so hyped on the shit that I do.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't get hyped, and it's not that I don't appreciate it. I just don't show the level of excitement that they do. I've never like shown that. Whenever I've gotten something, I've never been like, yo.
Yeah.
I got this. You know,
hey, why do you think that is? You don't trust it? You think it's going to be taken away?
No, I just because I've kind of carried, like, when I started skateboarding as a kid, like, you know, yeah, I skated with people, but it was just it felt so cool to me because it was my own thing. I didn't need anybody for it, and all I had to do was just go out and do it, yeah, like freely.
Yeah,
like that was like, yeah. And so a lot of times, yeah, I'd be skating by myself. I would skate with friends and shit, but a lot of times it was just me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like playing, like learning to play guitar. Like I had some friends help me and shit like that. But then like that, and getting into the world of like punk rock music, you know, hardcore punk and all that shit. Like that was just like all me. And then the cheerleading, you know, like I worked my ass off in cheerleading just because I would go in. I was the first guy at practice.
Yep.
And I'd be the last one out
to leave.
Yeah.
That's what it takes.
Like I was that guy.
Yeah.
Because all these things were just so cool to me. And like cheerleading was extreme. Going to punk rock shows was like extreme to me because we're stage diving and all this shit. And then skateboarding, like I just loved that.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't see other sports like football, like that didn't catch my, or basketball. It didn't seem like chaotic to me. It seemed very more structured.
Yeah.
Right? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas like cheerleading and all these things just felt so free and like chaotic and almost like unknown worlds, especially like, you know, in the 90s, you know, like, I mean, I feel like skateboarding got, you know, was like really rising in the 90s, but like it's even bigger now. But like, you know, being a black kid growing up and skating, like back when I was doing it,
yeah, I know,
was like a different story.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like some kids don't even know, like it was like completely different, you know? So like being in these worlds, and it's almost like to the other people, it was anti.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
And so for me, I was like, no, this is dope. Yeah. We can all do this.
But you
this
made is that like a free you thing. Made that decision nobody else told you to.
Yes.
You did it your way.
Everyone thinks because they're like, oh, you listen to rock and roll because of your white family. No. That was before I got there.
Yeah. And you're
that was way before I got there.
I don't
there.
Know your adoptive family, but they don't seem like they're the hardcore punk scene.
Nah.
Right.
Nah, they're big into church and shit right. like that.
You already mentioned one of the music genres that they were into.
Oh, Michael Bublé. When I said Michael Bublé.
That's not hardcore.
Dude, my adopted dad plays that fucking Christmas special.
Right, so you
Michael Bublé.
You do your own thing.
Yeah.
We're happy to talk to you once again about our good friends at Miracle Made. You may not realize this, but when you sleep, you sweat. And unless you are washing your sheets every single day, you, my friend, sleep in a bed of rank nastiness. Unless you step up to the big leagues and get yourself some Miracle Made sheets.
I'm just mad that they only gave me one. I need more because when I wash those, I have to use normal ones.
Yeah, and you're a sweaty, disgusting ape.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. But yeah, I can tell the difference because, as Michael said, I'm a sweaty, disgusting ape.
It's designed for your skin, clear pores, clear, living, breathable sheets that will have you sleeping like royalty.
My cat loves it too.
I can only imagine. Go to trymiracle.com/Ellis and you could try Miracle Made sheets today, whether you're buying them for yourself or for a gift for a loved one. If you,
did you know
order
they're used
today,
in 5-star hotels?
Only the finest hotels.
It's true.
If your hotel is not using Miracle Made sheets, your hotel is trash, my friend.
Rumble Beans saying everybody should use the promo code.
Yep. You can order today and save over 40%. And if you use our promo code Ellis at checkout, you're also going to get 3 free towels and save an extra 20% on top of 40% and free NASA towels. Thanks, Miracle Made.
Chris, it does seem to me a little bit that you do a lot of these things to stay away from thinking about your life. Like you dive into things.
Well, at first, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. For the longest time, yes. Yeah. I would 1,000% agree with that.
Now you can face it. You're
now
a man.
I can face
you're
life.
Your own man.
And it's made me excel at those things even more.
Right, because when you first dove in, it wasn't on purpose, but you realized to be good at something, you have to dive completely in.
Yeah.
So now you use that angle when it comes to everything that you apply.
Yeah, and also I've always, you know, even though I got friends, I've always felt like a lone wolf. Yeah. Right. But I don't think of that as like a loser, or it's like, no. I don't think of it as lame. It's not what it is. But I know, like, I don't do well in group formats.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody should just solely be able to think for themselves, no matter what the fuck they want to believe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think because you're part of this sector that you have to think like this.
Right.
I don't, you know, like in the punk and hardcore world, yeah, there's some ways where you have to think like this. And I don't necessarily agree with like everything that in a group where I feel like there's something from everything I can take from.
Yep.
Because I feel like if you can't take from everything, then what the fuck are you really learning?
Yeah.
You kind of cap yourself off.
Yeah.
Like you gave yourself a ceiling when you can't look at everything and try to understand everything and read some shit that you don't necessarily agree with. And so I'm not reading it to like agree with it. It's just like, why do you have that thought? I question everything.
Yeah.
I question everybody.
Yeah.
I question everybody. You know?
Do you have anybody in comedy that you have looked up to that has been an influence in your career of comedy?
I really love guys like, I love Daniel Tosh. I love Bernie Mac. I love Eddie Murphy a lot. Eddie Murphy is probably number one. I love Bill Burr. I love Patrice O'Neill. Who else do I love? There's a lot of probably, but if I had to pick number one, it's probably Eddie Murphy.
It's funny.
1000% Eddie Murphy.
I had met Patrice back in the Opie and Anthony day.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And now that I'm a comedian and watching old videos of stuff that he's done, I didn't realize who I was talking to. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, what's up with this guy on the show? Like, I didn't care about half the people in the room.
Yeah.
Little did I know that there was probably a few times I was standing in the room with greatness and
he had a skill set that I don't think I've seen any comedian today be able to do.
Agreed.
You know?
He's a monster.
Because you have to know yourself so well to be able to talk the way that he talked.
Yeah.
And I have yet to see a comedian. There's a lot of people that are probably be like, you know, oh, you're like, but in a lot of things, a lot of times, like people are like, oh, you know, he just said the craziest shit. No, there is substance behind the shit he was saying.
Yep.
Strong substance. And he made it so difficult to be so combative, like with the shit he say.
Yep.
The shit he would say.
Very like, well,
he has a joke. He had a joke about harassment day at work.
Yeah.
He said, I should be able to just harass. You know, he would just say these things.
It was
so funny.
And make any sense at all is brilliant.
You know, but he had this analogy with it where it was like, if you had a bear and you had a salmon with honey on it, you know, and you just like, you know, the salmon's just walking by the bear every day going, hi, bear. And the bear, all the bear could do is go, oh, hi. You know, like he had this, like these funny analogies to a lot of what he was saying that was just so pure and so authentic that, I don't know, yeah, he's a dope one. And now like Eddie, for me, Eddie was somebody, like when I watched him do Delirious, Eddie Murphy Delirious, his first special, he was only 22 years old. In a sold out theater in DC. And this guy does a scene of a barbecue at his parents' house. And he plays so many different characters on stage where you no longer see Eddie Murphy, which is almost like that to me is, I've yet to see anyone do that again. Like, and then when he goes, does Nutty Professor, and he plays the whole family at the dinner table.
Because he could already do it when he was 22.
Exactly. Right. That is like, that's powerful to me. So I love stuff like that. That's like who when you were like, who do I like? I thought you were, now that question made sense.
Yeah, influence, sorry. Because that's how I get with influence is I like them.
Yeah.
You know, like I become awestruck by them.
Yeah.
Like anybody in MMA, anybody in comedy where, like I've said it before, like even if they're younger than me, I still now feel 12 when they're like 35.
Yeah.
That's nowhere near what the age thing is. It's just to me, I go, oh my God. You know, like the first time I ever met Tim Dillon, I remember like, he said, hey man, that was pretty good. And I said, thanks, Tim Dillon.
Yeah.
Like a child.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't. I was like, because that's who that really is. And I mean, I was blown away.
That's the wild thing about being up at the Comedy Store is, like, one day, Tim Dillon was bringing me up. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Right?
Yeah, like, and Ari Shaffir brought me up. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, these certain people that are Neil Brennan, you know, which is, it's always funny when Neil Brennan brings me up because of the Chappelle Show and stuff like that. Because he co-created the Chappelle Show and stuff. And I remember the first time he had to bring me up, he goes, they're going to be so excited and so disappointed at the same time.
Because he knew what he was going to say.
Yeah. He goes, I'm so excited to bring you up.
He can't blame him for doing it.
But it was just so fun, you know. Yeah. And the fact that I had that moment with Neil was like, it was just fun. It was just dope. Like, that kind of stuff gets me like, little butterfly inside, you know.
So now that you're on the road and things are looking pretty good, hopefully financially it's getting better.
Not yet. You're not making money in comedy until you're making money.
I don't know what that means at all.
Meaning, like, it takes a while to make some like money.
Okay, but are you doing well on the road? Like, do people come from all around America?
Man, it's tough. You know, certain. I ain't gonna lie, bro. There's certain markets. I don't do good in every market yet.
What are the markets that you do well in, and what are the ones you do bad in?
Man, where did I do really bad?
Start off with the bad.
Louisville, Kentucky, man. This is funny. I went to Louisville, Kentucky, and I remember I was my flight got delayed, so I was late, so I didn't get there till the show started. I landed right when the show started, but luckily, the venue wasn't too far from the airport.
Okay, so you had other comics that were doing stuff before you got up?
So I just told them, I said, hey, let the openers do a little longer time.
Okay.
Right? And I get there, and I'm in, like, my sweatpants, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I pull up to the venue, and the GM comes out to get me, and he goes, we walk up to the venue, and I kind of, like, softly, like, I could see inside, but not all the way. The door was kind of, like, slightly open or like partially or whatever. And I'm like, did the show start yet? He goes, no, we were just going to wait for you. I was like, oh, cool. I said, is there people in there? And he goes, oh, yeah. I go, how many? He goes, 12.
Wow. How big is the venue? Like how many?
350 seats.
Oh, dude.
I said,
I was hoping you were going to say it. See it like 15, 16.
Shit. Right? I got to that, man. And what was so funny is to get to the green room, I had to walk through the crowd. Cause that's the only way to like the green room. Cause the green room is like on the other side of like the door, and you have to walk through from the main door, and you have to walk through the crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm walking through the crowd, and this guy goes, "You're late to your own show." And I go, "Yeah, everyone is. We're all late." And I was like, "Where's like no one's here?" Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, everyone's late.
Yeah.
And then I told myself, I said, "Man, I'm doing 45 minutes."
Yeah,
I was like, I'm doing. I was like, I will get off at that 45 minute mark, but I ended up doing like 58 minutes because I think I was just rolling in it, and just kind of just like, yeah, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
Where I was like, the 12 people were having fun. And then I was like, man, we got another night. Next night, 15. Hey, we had people. See, come on,
yeah,
progress. 15 people again. I told myself, you're doing 45 minutes. And again, just going up there and just rolling, did 58.
Yeah, I mean, you love comedy, man. Like,
oh, yeah. I you have to really love it to, like, stay on stage like that. And the way those 15 and 12 people rocked with the show was, like, I was like, I couldn't ask for a better outcome of it. You know, you gotta take those L's, man. But, yeah, I don't sell out every show. Like, I mean, I sold out shows in Chicago.
That's gonna Philly, feel good
Philly,
though,
I,
right?
Philly, I do good.
Selling out shows in Chicago must have felt pretty good.
Yeah, it feels good. You know, I mean, there's people that do show up, but there's sometimes where I'm like, man, I'll even ask this year. I go, is there people out there? And they go, yeah, there's people. And but they never tell me. You know what I mean? Right. I'm like, tell me how many.
Yeah,
but not every market, man. It's tough. It's really fucking tough.
But you're aware of that, though, right?
Yeah, but I also know that every comic that is like before me and is doing really well has been in the same position.
I was going to say, cause I'm way newer than you, but I'm already pretty familiar with, you know, there's people that are really good that don't sell out. It doesn't mean you're not really good.
Yeah. It just means you haven't hit the fucking nation
it's
or whatever.
It's a weird thing. Comedy's a weird thing. It's like, a weird thing. Everyone's aware of it, and I guess these days because of the culture, and some people demonize a few comedians here and there, that everybody's aware of comedians, but not everybody wants to go to a comedy show. It's a rare person that goes.
They really have to like you to fucking buy a ticket.
And when they go, somebody was just explaining to me on the weekend about this. It's like when they go, it's not, they go because they love to see all the comedians. They got a hold of this one person and they want to go see that person's show. That doesn't mean that they like that one person, that they can't wait to see Jim Jefferies or whoever it is, who is also a legitimate, huge comedian. But they just like this one person because TikTok or a friend, or it's not like they skateboarders. People love to see, they'll see Tony Hawk, they'll see Chad Muska, they'll see Nigel. They don't care. They're just like, whoa, because it's the whole community and we love skateboarding.
Yeah.
And we love everybody that's in skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
With comedy, it's like somebody might just like one guy or one girl. And that's it.
Yeah. You never know sometimes. Yeah, they might. It's not like they like multiple comedians, just the one. Exactly. Yeah, I think you said it best right there. And yeah, but also that's what makes it like fun. Well, it should make it fun to be able to figure out how to get people. And it just makes you like fight to be the best that you can be. I love that kind of grit.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite shit. The thing I love about comedy is comedy will let you know how good you are.
Yeah.
You know, like it kind of lets you know by the opportunities you get. Not saying like, if you're in your own, like your hometown or whatever, wherever you're based out of.
Yeah.
It will let you know how good you are and stuff like that. And, right. And it will let you know if you're getting better. You know, so the roads is just a little bit different because you're trying to reach people outside of where you're based out of.
I get,
but I think there's that's what makes it fun. I mean, it's like with fighting, you can't go around like you have to be good. You can't skip steps.
I'm glad you brought up fighting because I think that's a perfect analogy. It's like, to me, do I want to do a fight in front of a sold out crowd and lose? Or would I want to do a fight in front of 50 people where I win? I want to win.
Yeah.
So to me, and this is only recent, and because of my program and my constant work on my mental health, I've always been a show pony. I've always wanted to be special, feel special, have a bunch of fake friends and money. And like, you're a star. I don't care if you hate me. As long as I'm a star, like that's what I would have traded for the world. Now that I'm older and I've gone through it all, to me, I want to be good at it.
Yeah.
You know, like in skateboarding, it's over for me in skateboarding. What do I have from skateboarding? If somebody pats me on the back because they recognize me at 7-Eleven, that's cool. But the greatest thing I got from skateboarding was at one point I could make that thing do whatever I wanted.
Mm.
And I can, and as many times as I've hit my head, I still recall some of these times where I could make this thing do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And it was the greatest feeling, and you can never take that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I'm in comedy, it's like, I've had things when I first started where, because of my name or whatever, you should headline. And I'm like, I'm probably not ready for that. And there's been times where...
See, I respect that.
You respect that I don't want to do that?
A lot of people don't.
I don't have a special coming either, and I'm really good with that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, some people... they'll just be like, all right, fuck it, I'll take the...
Yeah, I don't want
to
do it.
And it's like, you don't want to dump yourself into a situation that you're not ready for.
I'm not ready for it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I mean...
I've done it for the radio show fans where I knew that everybody was coming to watch me and Tully and all the people from the radio show do stand-up.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect much from me, and I didn't think that they were going to expect much from me either because they knew I was new.
Yeah.
But now, like, the more I understand comedy and the levels to it, I have a better respect. Like, have I got better? I've gotten way better. Am I anywhere near where I think I'm going? Not at all.
See, that's what I love that because, sometimes, like when you post something or if your stand up's online, you'll get people, you'll get some good comments and you'll get people like, no, this is fucking trash and this sucks. And it's like, Yeah, I'm trying to get better, dummy.
I probably agree, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, especially like, me. There's only three videos out, and they're all bad. It's the first 2 years of my stand-up. Like, mm-hmm. you show me your first 2 years, smart
ass. Yeah, exactly. It's but also it's, like, I'm trying, yeah, duh, I'm trying to get better.
But it's not about, the more I understand it, like, the best I ever did was this weekend with Dave Attell, who's one of the greatest. Uh-huh. And it was the best I've ever done. But because of this new attitude, you know, there were people like, man, that was amazing. We're going to get you back. And I was like, yeah, cool. And I left and I was like, that was cool. I'm more appreciative of Dave letting me do it. That was the best part of it to me, that somebody of that stature was like, hey, man, you're pretty good. You can come back tomorrow if you want. And I was like, really? That I don't care about being better, being famous, getting a deal. Like, I know that when I wake up tomorrow, nobody's calling me. There's no change. There's no like, this is it. You're on your way. Like, no, I'm not. I just got lucky. I got a spot and I was very fortunate to do it in front of all these people that are real comedy fans because of Dave, not because of me. And that's what I get from it. I don't care if I'm on my way. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the fame. I just know that I got three days in a row and I got way better. Mm-hmm. That's all I care about is getting way better. Not so that I get a plane or a special. Mm-hmm. I want to get better so that I can be better, because one day, if I keep getting up, I'll be doing it at one point and going, I can do whatever I want right now and make everybody laugh about whatever I say.
Yep.
Because I've seen these other people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want.
Yep.
And I feel like because of that, it's going to work out better for me in a way healthier manner. Because there was a time there, even in radio, I got big and I was like, I'm king shit. You know what I mean? Like, here I come. And it's like, here you come from what? Talking into a microphone?
Yeah.
Really, dude? Mm-hmm. You think you're better than somebody because you're fast on the microphone?
I know.
Like,
That's the funniest shit, too. I feel
shame when I recall these days. Like, now it's like, you're just some asshole, man. Like, but keep working. It's like, keep working at skateboarding, keep working at whatever it is you're into. Keep working it. If you love it, that's going to go a long way too.
Yeah.
But if you really love it and you get really good at it, that's what the God is giving you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about like the pats on the back or the money in the bank. Like
that all falls into place. Like if you really think about it, that kind of comes with the territory. If you're just being the best that you can fucking be, if you're being the best that you can fucking be, and you're trying to fucking just get there, like all that other shit falls into place. And I've had to like, you know, calm myself down on that. Like I remember when I first started, like I had that kind of like, yeah, like this, like, you know, this thing, this first comic. And I, you know, the first few sets I did were like, I did good. And then when I had my first bomb, that's when I was like, all right. Yeah, I was like, that was a punch in the fucking stomach.
That was the first time I realized I loved it.
Yeah.
Because it hurts so much.
It hurts.
And I was like, why do you even care?
Love the grit.
And I'm like, I cut, like the next day I was like not all there.
Yeah, that's why.
Like, you okay, Jason? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's why like the online world like doesn't faze me in the sense of like it being like rude and like ruthless.
Well, that's online.
Yeah. But like, you know, I see a lot of people kind of like argue with people online about certain shit. But it's kind of hard for me to do that because a lot of times I'm just like, it is what it is. But like, but also like, I don't know, we got to have that point in our lives or like in just life in general to where you can just go, all right, I don't have to be online. I could just like exist. You know, a lot of times, what someone may think sucks online, it's like, well, these people right here are fucking laughing.
Dude, every time I freaked out on someone online, I was in such a dark place.
Yeah.
And that gives me the answer. Like you've
gone at it with people online?
Oh, yeah. Because I've been so depressed in my life that when I read somebody saying they didn't like it or don't like me for whatever reason, I freaked out because I already hate myself more than that guy does. And now you're trying to stack on. And then I bring that rage comes back where I'm like, bitch, give me your address.
Yeah.
I'll show you how I really suck. You know, and then now from like working on myself, if someone's like, you're the worst comic I've ever seen, I'm like, you might be right.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm gonna be back next weekend if anybody will let me.
Yeah, I'm gonna get like,
and I don't care if you back next weekend. I don't care if you've been doing it for 2 years or you've never done it. Like people tell me in boxing, you should pivot more. And I'm like, there used to be a time where I'd be like, how many fights have you had?
Yeah.
None. Shut the fuck up. But then now it's like, you know, you should pivot. I'm like, maybe I should. I don't, you know, maybe like.
So
I,
have you gotten better about like not replying to shit?
What? Yeah. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I just want to be happy. And if I know. I can't get down with you anymore, like I just see it as I've been you.
It's just very,
you know? Like, he's
just,
Jake Paul. You're the worst boxer I've ever seen. I'll do it now for funny, but I'm not sincerely angry at him. Like, good for you, dude.
You know? Oh, got it. Yeah.
Like, there was a time there where I was like, fuck that guy, fuck this guy. And if the guy came
he's a younger brother.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
He's doing good. He's fighting Mike Tyson. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. He's, yeah.
Kind of.
I know. It's, yeah. I don't have much critique on that kind of world because I'm like,
I've just.
And so I'm like, that's a world I've never fucking been in. So I don't know. Like,
I'm just trying to say that I'm guilty of everything that anyone's ever done to
me. In the sense of like talking shit.
Yeah. I've done it all. I'll fire back, and I've also attacked. And I think it's from all the problems that I walk around with every day.
Damn.
And now that I see those, and this is not like, oh, you should see me from here on out, Chappelle, I'm just like a saint. No, I still get dark, I still have bad days, and you can catch me on one.
Yeah.
You know, I can have a bad day and you can cut me off and be like, get out of the car, motherfucker. I'll be like, okay.
Yeah. I just feel like for me personally, I think I've been hurt more offline than I have online.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how like I see it, and it kind of helps me walk through that a lot smoother.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of hard. It's like, yeah, and okay. Like, I just, and that's not even to be like, this is like a trophy that I have. It's just, I think that's why I don't get as like upset, because I think I've been hurt
it's
more.
It's not a trophy. It's a credential.
Yeah.
You've got it and you've seen it and you don't need to.
Yeah. There's like, I've gotten hurt in some real places.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Real life right in front of my face.
That a lot of people
kind of shit
have never.
Whereas like someone typing something out isn't necessarily, you know, yeah, sometimes it might sting a little, but also it's like, yeah, you remember what happened, you know, so years ago,
right,
or whatever? Remember that when you dealt with that?
It's like getting punched in the head when you're a kid and you've never been punched in the head, and then having 10 years of being punched in the head and someone punches you in the head now, I'm like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got practice.
Yeah.
I got credentials in getting punched in the head.
One time, one of my brothers died in like 2013. I had made a post about my brother. I, you know, usually post about him on his like birthday or whatever. And someone said something negative. But it was funny because like, it's a funny thing to say to a person when it's like, well, I know how I feel about my brother and I know how he felt about me. So I don't know what you want me to do with this information.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you can make fun of that. You have the right to.
Yeah.
Why do they not have the right to? Why do they not have the right?
You and I will ever be.
What'd you say?
I just see that person that makes that comment as a lot sadder of a person than you and I will ever be.
Mm-hmm.
Because can you imagine doing that to somebody else?
Oh, hell no. Make fun
of somebody.
Yeah.
Like, how sad is that person?
Yeah.
That they think that this is a time to get a reaction from you.
Mm-hmm.
Just to me, I go, wow, dude, yeah. How bad is things?
Like, yeah, you really wanted to reply, but I was like, I still didn't reply.
You are angry.
Yeah.
And angry is sad.
Hey, what you doing?
Yeah. Noticed you two are making fast friends over there. Are you warming up to the idea of welcoming a hairless animal into your life?
I mean, I feel them nails a little bit.
Yeah. Rumble Beans.
That's the part that scares me.
The nails.
Oh, look at him.
If he does that, he's cool to
look at him. He loves you.
Yeah.
Do you think he's cute or do you think he's ugly?
No, I think he's adorable, especially what he's doing right now. What does he do this with everybody, every guest?
No.
Oh, really?
About half.
One of my best friend of like 20-something years, when I lived with him, him and his husband had fucking three dogs, three cats at one time and shit like that. And
I have five dogs.
You do?
Yeah.
His cats like I love them, but whenever they would come up to me, and my friend, my best friend's such a jackass. What he'll do, because he knows I'm terrified of cats. I'm like if they're doing this, it's cool. But it's like when they're like jumping or like they're trying to like do something, I freak
you mean
out.
Playing?
Yeah.
You get scared
out.
When
it's
a cat plays
the
with
nails,
you.
The nails.
What and do you think the nails are gonna do?
And so there was times he'd be holding something that looked like his cat, and he'd be like, "Huh!" And he would just throw it at me, and I would freak out. So bad.
What do you think worst case scenario would happen if a cat was playing with you?
Cat scratch fever.
And then what would happen?
I don't know.
Do you think you're going to bleed out?
See,
I bleed it out, dig it deeper just to throw it away.
Look, I know your podcast has references. A lot of music in it, but just calm down.
See, it's funny because we've been down this conversational road many, many times over the years. And Jason's where he draws a line in the sand is ultimately I will murder that animal before it murders me. Ergo, it's not a problem. Uh-huh. I fall more on your side of yes, but in the process, this animal's going to scratch me up and I don't need that in my life.
Yeah. I don't want to be scratched. Is that what you think? I just want to be scratched.
And like, do you think it'll like scar you for the rest of your life that you'll deal with a cat scratch?
Oh, he wants to sing so bad.
You know what I was going to sing?
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
I was going to sing Papa Roach Scars.
Fever. Thank
oh,
God.
Oh, my goodness. God,
scars revive.
No, dude. It's
I'm sorry. I have a habit of
Do you know the worst any good songs?
Yeah, right?
Yes.
So far, so
and
not.
It's good. And it's good. Better than Ezra?
That was worse than Ezra.
Hey! I know.
Stop.
I know.
I think I'm scared of you singing.
Did you say stop? Here we go! I'm just kidding.
He's doing Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So check it. There's this raccoon. There's a hairless raccoon up in
Canada.
Do you
like raccoons?
I don't think I've ever really
encountered. What about that guy?
I don't think I've ever encountered one. Mm-hmm. That is really cute.
So it was out in the cold.
Aww.
And they saw it and they didn't know what it was. And they're not really sure mange parasites, whatever, made it lose its hair. So they had it was like doing what your chihuahua does. Sometimes it was like outside and it found like a hot water heater or something. It was hanging out against.
Oh.
So they're hoping that they can figure out what's wrong with him so that they can, so that he can regrow hair.
Yeah,
can raccoons have AIDS?
That guy can.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe he has raccoon AIDS.
Or just cancer.
Yeah.
No, chemo makes you lose your hair.
Never mind. You're wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong.
But AIDS makes you lose your hair.
Oh.
Doesn't it? Tom Hanks lose his hair in Philadelphia?
I didn't actually watch Philadelphia.
Man, what's wrong with you? You don't like gay movies?
Did I really miss anything?
It's a good movie.
I heard it's a powerful movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I said I heard it's a powerful movie.
That's what I thought I heard.
Man.
It is on my it's good to watch.
No, it isn't. You're never going to watch it.
How about, can I interest you in a bald squirrel?
Hell yeah, you can. Man, I want to be his friend. I love his tail didn't give up, though.
Is there something wrong?
Yeah.
And his face.
Obviously, there's a problem with it's a fucking hairless.
Why?
This guy probably has.
I've got no hair. Nothing wrong with me.
True.
He just looks so thin. It's like Ozempic. He looks like he looks like Sharon Osbourne.
People don't realize that fur makes up a lot of space.
Yeah.
You know, like cats.
I feel bad like when it gets cold.
People don't realize how wrinkly cats are.
I did not.
That's all cats are that wrinkly.
You're a little wrinkly one, huh? We're just going to bed.
Did you know dogs also very wrinkly?
Yeah. Well, you can.
I've never seen a hairless dog.
Tell. Well, you can kind of tell they're out there.
Oh, there's a lot of hairless dogs.
Because like when
they're breeding them, you'll see more.
Yeah.
Because once there's a hairless dog, they make that hairless dog fuck another hairless dog.
Yeah.
Because people like me, like cool, like, you know, I mean, artsy fartsy people that want weird animals so you can like, ooh, look at me. They buy them. So people now know. So if you have the hairless poodle, they're going to make that poodle fuck another
hairless
dog. Why
is it so bad to buy dogs?
Well, because you're supposed to rescue them. Because
there's so many that
are being put down and stuff. Yeah. But if you have cat allergies, you can have one of these guys because he has no hair.
Yeah. Or you can have a hairless rat.
Well, luckily I don't have cat allergies, Mr. Rumpel.
Where's a hairless rat?
Fuck.
You got a hairless dog?
That's a hairy McCone.
That's a hairy McCone.
Wait, I've seen that.
Wait, that is a normal, like, what's wrong with that back bit?
That's his nuts, bro.
That's not real.
That's not nuts.
Normal rats don't have those.
Dude, his nuts have nuts.
That's not real. You guys have added man's nuts.
Wait, show me a hairless dog.
Yeah, show him a hairless dog.
That's what I want to see. What is that?
Hairless that's a hairless rabbit. Chipmunk.
That oh, chipmunk. Is
a hairless rabbit.
That's a hairless hamster.
Hamster.
Do all hamsters have those cheeks, or has he got stuff in? He's got.
He's got stuff in those cheeks.
They can't not have stuff in there, huh?
Right.
He's got like John Oliver energy.
Why you say that?
It's I don't know.
Oliver.
I just feel like he's
have
like
big cheeks.
No, which is
no,
like
but he does look like he could store some stuff.
He does.
Yeah.
I feel like I got chubby cheeks.
I think it's just.
The carbs.
Yep. Do you need help?
Mentally?
No.
Oh.
Physically.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to be put on a regiment?
You know a good one?
Yeah.
So I'm vegetarian.
Yeah.
But I love carbs.
Vegetarian does make it harder.
That's almost the problem is it's like...
Because your meat, your protein is a lot of carbs sometimes. Like your fake chicken and your fake other stuff.
I try not to eat that fake meat shit.
Right.
What are you doing?
It's just so easy to default to like the lazy... Like the lazy vegan foods are still healthy and there's a lot of fun carnivore foods that aren't bad for you. But when you're in that vegetarian layer, it's a lot of like... pizza and french fries. Mm-hmm. It's real easy to fall into.
What you
that.
Doing?
What about, you can't go vegan, right?
No.
Because you love dairy?
I like eggs.
Okay, eggs is okay, but you can't, can you do no dairy?
I don't like milk.
Because this is how, this
milk's fucking gross.
Don't eat dairy and don't eat bread.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do that.
If you do that, you'll be okay.
Yeah, dude, eggs, that's like Hulkamania stuff.
You'd be love eggs. Yeah. Eggs are so good.
What about egg whites?
Yeah. Then, love egg whites.
Then you would lean down even faster.
Rank the egg preparations in your mind.
Who?
Rank egg prep. Are you a scrambled guy? You over easy?
I like over easy.
Oh, yeah.
I love a good poached egg, too.
Mm.
Oh, that's the yolk.
Yeah, poached egg on toast.
So you can't eat egg whites.
Yeah, I can.
Be honest. Every day?
All right, you're right.
Yeah. You just mentioned the two, and you smiled when you said both of them.
Yeah.
You got real happy about the yolk.
You're picturing that liquid gold draining. Yeah, I know you are.
Yeah. You felt it?
Which is okay.
I saw it.
It's okay.
I know. I spoke loudly about it, huh?
Yeah, man. It's egg fever at my house because it was just Easter here. So we had deviled eggs with dinner last night, and I had an egg salad sandwich for lunch today.
Yeah.
And they're all got that weird blue and pink dye in them because I'm stealing them from my daughter. She decorated
them all
now.
You know what it is
them.
When I think about it?
Yeah.
I don't think I appreciated how fit I was. And that's why I'm
22.
At where I'm at. I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I realized it because cheerleading is kind of sneaky. You don't realize how
you guys work out. Because
I thought it was, I was just having fun. I didn't think it was. I never thought of it as working out.
Well, that and you're not in your late 30s. Like when you work out now, you wake up sore. When you're 22, you don't wake up sore.
Nah, sore
from working out. It doesn't even exist. Damn. Now you wake up and you go, oh man, like I've been lifting lately. And I am trash sometimes. And I'm like, dude.
It's tough, huh?
And my friend's like, you coming to the gym today? And I'm like, yeah.
You know how many push-ups I can do?
How many?
8.
Right now?
Not right now.
You think you do less?
Yeah. You got to let me warm
up. What about hanging out with your co-host and band member and doing some jiu-jitsu?
You know what
it
is?
You should roll with
Joel. So one time.
It's a good show.
There you go.
Rogan sent me to a place. And I went to.
Are you friends with him?
Yeah.
Dude, ask.
But I hate even saying that. I hate that I even just said that right now.
That's weird. I wasn't asking. I'm not taking it as a name drop. I'm taking it as a health advice.
Oh, got it.
If you've got his number, say, hey, man, I'm trying to cut down a little bit. What do you suggest I eat? I'm a vegetarian. And he will get
you. And he'll
be
like, get that elk.
Look, yeah, he's going to mail you a bow.
He's going to mail me a bow. Hey, I sent you some in the mail for your diet.
Yeah, shoot a can of eggs at the supermarket.
Just eat this.
There's other ways.
And then I'm out there in the fucking Burbank trying to find something.
Griffith Park poacher.
Yeah, Griffith Park. Yeah, trying to just fucking...
Do some protein.
Because I'm not going to go to the woods and do that much.
Do a lot of like plant-based protein.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
In water.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Not oat milk or any of that other stuff.
Yeah, I can do that.
You can
easy.
Do coconut milk. The rest of those milks I don't trust. I'm hearing a lot of corn syrup is in them and stuff.
You can make oat milk real easy. Like with oats.
Go on.
Yeah,
but how much milk would you get out of the oats? Like if it's a normal person at home.
You don't milk. The oat milk is basically just very watery blended oats.
Okay, so it's a lot of water, right?
Yeah, it's water and oats.
Right.
How do you do it
with almonds?
Those they actually squeeze. No, I don't know. They grind them up.
It's not a good idea. That's what I've heard. Dr. Drew Penske told me that they got syrup in it.
Well, you know, the store-bought brands versus making your own. I don't know anybody who's making their own almond milk, but making your own oat milk, you get a bag of oats and you got tap water and you have a Nutribullet, you got oat milk.
I've heard it this. Yeah. If the oat milk tastes good, you probably shouldn't be drinking it.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a good rule of thumb.
Because I've had some oat milk that just...
That's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff. Yeah, that's
yeah.
the that's
so, what it tastes like water.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what it is.
Yeah. yeah.
If a protein bar is like, wow, this is like a candy bar. But yeah, guess
it,
what?
Yeah, I didn't say you should be eating it.
Protein cookies?
Yeah.
I got bad news.
It's so funny how they get away with that shit when you're like, oh, we have this now. And you're like, oh, okay. It was like when McDonald's got the salad.
You know what burns fat? Muscle.
What did you say?
Muscle burns fat. So you get jacked. Because that's the other thing. You got potential jackness.
Yeah, you are already jacked.
Yeah,
you just need to, you just need to reclaim your former jackness.
Way more jacked.
Did you know McDonald's tried to?
I was close.
It was.
You know what I liked about doing comedy in London?
What?
I felt like the crowd, like, I felt like they let you be a comedian.
Yeah?
They don't take anything, like, they don't take what you're doing.
They know
like,
you're telling jokes.
They know you're telling a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know for me, when I get on stage, nothing I'm saying is like, it's just all goof.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, they take it as, I feel like sometimes when I do shows out here in like LA, they're looking at me as like, why would you say that?
Yeah. Some touchy motherfuckers out here.
I was doing a joke about being called the N word. And I said with the hard R. And then this was in, where was that? Redondo Beach or something like that. And then this just to show you the level of fucking, this lady raised her hand and she goes, what's hard R?
Yeah.
And I was like, lady?
Yeah.
You know, like Basic Instinct?
Lady,
yeah,
your,
I was like,
all your friends
like, I'm
use
not
it.
Fucking, yeah. I was like, I'm not fucking explaining. Because everyone looks back at her like,
yeah,
what?
It's crazy she didn't know that, and it's crazy she raised her hand to bring it up.
And well, that wasn't even the craziest part.
Okay, what is crazy?
I go back
that?
To my set, and then she goes, oh, I Googled it. Redondo.
Yeah, shout out to Redondo.
Yeah. Straight up, I Googled it. And I was like, okay.
It's weird. The internet has so much information, but yet people can be so sheltered. It's really
weird.
But
like, there's just like a difference, you know, like the fact that she felt compelled to be like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's the difference of like doing comedy for certain people. Certain people just should never go to comedy shows.
Yeah,
because you gotta watch the comedy shows if you're watching TV, like a TV show.
Yeah,
you want to take the TV show that's written and scripted, literal.
Well, some people, but yeah, no, I know.
I mean, maybe
saying.
People with their soap operas.
Yeah,
my grandma would get so hyped over that shit. I'm like, it's not real.
You take the good with the bad, you know. At this point, it's the only way to go. If you don't get it, why don't you get it? I'd like to know what's going on in your mind. And if it's disgusting, well, duly noted. Now duly I know noted. That you're out there. And next time I hear that, I'll know.
Right. There's one lady. This is recent. This is in Irvine.
You're going to all the good places.
I know,
you.
Right? I was doing, I was talking about cheerleading. And how I did it. And she was just staring at me like, I said, I was like, what's going on? I don't believe you. I go, of all things I can make up on this stage.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would it be cheerleading?
Yeah.
And then I said, why don't you believe me? I'm always interested. I was like, I'm interested when someone doesn't believe
no.
me. And she goes, you don't look like one. I go, well, what does a cheerleader look like? And then she pointed at a lady behind her. She goes, her. And I go, miss, you ever cheered? And she goes, never. And I go, huh.
Yeah.
We don't have a look.
You got her.
Exactly. And then I do the joke. Or whatever, and then once I finished the joke, and the joke hit really big, you know, because of it, and then I just stared at her like, because I do like a little move yeah. in the joke, and yeah. so I just fucking stared at her like, just fucking, and she's like, I'm sorry.
Aww.
Did you ever drop a cheerleader?
Have I? Yeah. When I, my first year.
Like, did they get hurt?
Yeah, she broke her collarbone.
Did you laugh?
No, I felt bad, because I didn't, but also I didn't know what I was doing. That was my first year.
What were you supposed to do?
So when
do?
You hold someone above your head,
yeah,
like you know, so obviously she's standing on my fucking hands.
Yeah.
When someone's coming down from that high in the air, the last thing you should the thing you should do is let go of their
grab
feet.
Her ankles.
No, let go of their feet and catch their body.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how you protect them.
And but you didn't?
No, I held on to her feet and I was like,
you slammed her.
I didn't slam her. Dude, saw how slow I went.
Dude, you slammed her.
No, I did not slam her.
Dude. Well, when she's falling, she's only got four things to stick in front of herself to break her fall, and you took two of them out of the equation.
Yeah, I did.
The most important ones.
It was a slow fall, and I was just like,
dude, the slower your hands are, the faster her face goes to the ground. Yeah.
I felt so bad.
Because I remember hearing, and I believe it's true, that the most dangerous amateur sport in America, it's like a trick question. Nobody gets the right answer to, is it's not football, it's not hockey, it's cheerleading.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got to think. I mean, there's a lot of concussions because you're throwing people in the air and they're flipping and you got to catch them. And
wait, people get knocked out a lot?
Yeah, people get knocked out.
Cool. Dude, we got a couple of videos of some of the greater fails.
And then there's a lot of times people tear, like when you're flipping, there's a lot of ACL tears. There's a lot of Achilles.
I don't want to tell tell you your business, but if you're just occasionally busting out backflips on stage, that's what I would be concerned about if I were you.
What?
She'd be all right.
Achilles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's fair. Yeah. Do you know how much I weigh? I should not be flipping.
Yeah.
This one's OG. This one's OG right here. I seen this one. We used to watch this back in the day. Yep.
Is this on the concrete?
Yeah, she does a toe-touch basket toss, and she flies backwards. I remember this.
I love that you know the terminology.
Oh, I know. I mean, exactly what happened.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Watch this. We used to laugh at it all the time. She was like, woo, goodbye.
Oh, dude. Oh. They threw her so far away from
me. What happens is, yeah, so you're supposed to throw her up.
Yeah.
And they threw her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
I think, actually, let me watch it again, and I'll be able to tell.
She's all right, though.
Okay, so then.
Could have been her fault, too. She leaned back.
So, no, they threw her up.
Oh.
They threw her up.
She leaned back.
She leaned back. Yep. She threw her shoulders back.
I saw that.
Because she was trying to. Yeah, so she was trying to hit her toe touch.
Looks like
but she was supposed to like rise to the top. Yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you see those falls, they're not as bad as like. They're not terribly bad. Oh, let me see this one.
Wait, this one made the news?
Yeah.
Dude, that's got to be a
good one.
This one's funny.
Oh,
yep.
This is terrible.
Well, that's her fault.
Of course it is. Yeah. So the team is about to run through the big banner thing, and at the last second, a cheerleader is like, actually, this one thing right over here needs to be fixed.
You idiot.
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you one thing, that ain't never happened to me.
You ever see the one where the Little League go through it and they can't go through it?
Oh, yeah, it's so cute.
They just can't break it?
They bounce off it.
Solid.
What's this one?
See if someone get racked.
Okay, nice.
It's one of the guys holding her. I'll give you that clue. So she's up on top.
Yeah. Catch a pussy in the face?
Let's see what happens. She's about to double down. And that was...
And that guy's a broken
nose. Yeah, because the way she fucking twisted her body. Yeah. So
you can actually hear it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, I would have killed her. 1,000% I would have killed her.
Fault?
I support
you. Yeah, that's her fault. Look how crazy she's spinning. Her legs are all over the place. She doesn't have a tight body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would. Yeah. Oh, if she was on my cheer team.
Yeah.
Oh,
Becky would have been a dead woman.
Oh, you would have been a dead woman.
You would have killed her.
Yeah.
Fuck, kill her.
I'm glad you got that anger thing under control.
Yeah. Oh, I was ruthless at practice.
Yeah.
Oh,
you used to kill
women. Fucking. I just get heated.
And yell at ladies.
Yeah, bruh. First of all, they'll do the yell at ladies thing because the girls I cheered with, some of them were evil as fuck.
Who's the most evil cheerleader you ever met?
I don't want to say names because I still know them.
Uh-huh.
Wait, you still know evil bitches?
Bruh, yeah.
Why are you so mean to women?
Okay, don't you do that. Don't you do that. No, these aren't women. These are my teammates.
So you've only had one girlfriend,
I would get buck about like... If the shit didn't hit,
What do you mean didn't hit?
Like if we're at practice and we're doing our routine and if someone fucked up, I was the guy like kicking trash cans and punching garages because I'm like, why the fuck?
Dude.
I would get so mad. Also, if I didn't think you were working hard enough, I'd sit down because I'm like, I'm working my fucking ass off.
Dude, you are hard, to work with, you know that?
I was fucking bully central
You need to let us some steam, man.
Yeah, because this changes the whole, like, you were the first one there and the last one to leave. I'm like, Rudy, yeah. No.
I'm not going to give you no Rudy story. Hell, no, I ain't Rudy.
Yeah, you need to
I've always been curious about this. This is in college, right?
College was different.
Okay, but you were...
I wasn't as ruthless in college because I think we were just... Everyone was good.
Uh-huh.
Okay, everyone was working hard.
Yeah, so I never felt that, like...
Like, where the male cheerleader fits into the ecosystem of the sporting program, right? Because it's like the guys on the sports team are like the big men on campus. And then it's like, in theory, the like quarterback guy dates the hottest cheerleader chick. and you're just kind of like the guy who gets to hold her butt until the football player's done playing. Like, what was the relationship like when you interacted with the dudes on sports teams?
You know what? So interesting enough, a lot of guys, like growing up, they thought it was the dopest thing that I cheered. They fucking loved it. Like dudes would like dudes from my high school would come to my competitions because they were like, yo, Chappelle fucking throws these girls up and then he'll fucking get in the corner and just go do this long ass tumbling pass and shit like that. So they loved seeing it because they thought it was just so dope because I was really, really good at it.
Yeah, sure. Obviously.
So they thought it was just like the coolest thing. And so they would just, they more so supported it. And it's like, I got made fun of more for skateboarding and being a black dude that skated and listens to punk rock music than I ever did getting made fun of for being a cheerleader.
All right.
Yeah, I never really got made fun because they just thought it was cool. It was almost like just a thing to see. Like I was just like, you think about me going at school and I bust out those flips.
Oh,
you know
sure.
what I mean? So right. Everyone was just like, yo, what the fuck?
And you're a terrible skateboarder.
You never seen me skate?
I seen you skate.
You never seen me skate?
Keep tumbling, champ. Is this you?
How'd you find that?
It looks like it's on your Instagram.
Is this you at your prime?
That's later years. That's later.
So you were better than this?
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah, when I was younger.
You ollie down 4 steps.
That was a 6 there.
Okay.
Well, you got to realize this is
barely made.
This
is
for never doing it in a long time. That's for like not doing it.
Okay, so you were way better than this.
Yeah, back in the day.
How much better?
I'd say 4 times better.
Okay.
Yeah, I miss it.
And you're doing it again.
Cause I don't have that energy that I had when I was like youthful. One of the things I miss is like, you know, one of my favorite things. I mean, I loved fucking just kick flipping stairs and ollie and big stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, it's like, I know I'm not going to do that ever again. So that's why I don't go as hard
in
skateboarding. Cause it's like, if I'm not going to do that, then why am I going? Why would I go so hard at it? That's the shit that I miss. It's like just doing the biggest stair sets.
Right.
I love that.
It's a young man's game.
Yeah. It's a young man's game.
Yeah.
It's a young.
There are a couple of guys that are older than do
elementary
it,
school.
But they're.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
There's guys as old as you that do it,
yeah.
But they were doing 20 stairs when they were 25.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's like for me, I mean, I remember this when this 10 stair got built at our school, it was a fat nine stair, right? Mm. That got built at our school, or elementary school. And I remember when that shit got built, like, I was like, I got to be the first one to fucking hit that shit.
Yeah.
And I fucking.
How old were you?
Oh, shit. I think I was 14.
Okay.
14
prime.
Yeah. 14. Because I loved Andrew Reynolds in the way he would just do the biggest shit.
That's what the guy I was talking about.
Yeah,
that guy still jumps big stuff.
Dude, the biggest stuff.
He's like almost 40 or something.
I mean, those cats, like he'll still run up Hollywood
High
School.
But he trains, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
He like does exercises to help like impact.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. So it's like, I know I'm talking shit. My ego was probably like, oh, he's saying I ain't good. But no, yeah, I don't think I was like, I like cheerleading more, for sure.
Because, I guess I don't know that much about cheerleading, but from what I saw of those videos, you were very talented.
Yeah, it was really good.
It goes a long way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when I got into cheerleading, as much as I love I stopped skateboarding when I got into cheer.
Right.
Because it was just like, there was just something, and the world was just so different, and I just really, I fucking loved it.
So, are you on the road or are you home?
I'm home. Like I'm like off and on. I was on the road like a lot this like last month, but like I'm like off and on right now.
How long do you go on the road at a time?
I do like probably, I'd say 2 weekends out of the month.
Okay.
3 if I'm like lucky, but I try not to. You know, my thing is I'm not trying to go to every city because I know I'm not gonna do well in every city. I'd rather wait and just build and let the demand kind of.
That's how
get there.
That's what everyone does.
I think that's the smartest way to do it. So a lot of people they'll just go, but not me necessarily. I don't just want to just go out and fucking do a bunch of cities and just do a show for 12 people all the time.
Right.
Like, yeah, I did it. I went through it, but it's like, I don't need to like fly to go do that.
Right. Cause then you spend your money, right?
Yeah.
Could you go everywhere? Like, would the clubs have you and fly you out, or it doesn't work like that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they probably would, but it's also like, I'm like, I don't need to go everywhere. Like, I didn't need to go do that Louisville weekend.
Yeah. Did you think that scarred you from taking these little gigs?
Not scarred. I'd say it just made me go, hey, don't do that.
Okay.
Like, it's like, hey, we got to be strategic about it. You don't need to do every city. Also, you know, there's a lot of things. I find my way. There's a lot of great clubs that are smaller clubs. Like, there's a really good club in Bakersfield called Well Comedy, the Well Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And that seats, I think, about 150 people.
Yeah.
And that's a great room. And I think that like I go do that, you know, all I have to do is drive an hour and a half.
So you get a lot of shows money. In LA.
Yeah. I get a ton of shows in LA.
San Diego.
San Diego too. And so, yeah,
So you can kind of stay busy.
Actually, Riley came and saw me in San Diego.
Riley Hall.
Yeah. He came through and saw me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, like there's shows like that. I mean, you know, rest in peace to the fucking Rec Room in Huntington Beach. You've done that room before, right?
Uh-uh.
You never done the Rec Room? Oh, that Rec Room was really good. It was a room in Huntington Beach that had like 160 seats.
Uh-huh.
But like those kind of rooms, yes. But sometimes when they send me out to these rooms that seat like 500, I'm like, what the fuck do you want me to do with this
room? Do you tell them that?
Yeah.
And they go, it doesn't matter as long as you feel like get 100?
Well, a lot of times they'll like, you know, what a club can do is like push free tickets. But I'm like, well, then I'm become the free ticket guy. Like you can push the free tickets. Like, and it's like people are only going to come see me if there's free tickets there.
Is that who loses there?
I mean, you get a guaranteed. There's a guaranteed you get.
So how's that bad?
Because it's like, it's so defeating when you go and do a club. So say you do a club that seats, we'll say 400 seats.
Yeah.
And you sold like 100 tickets. They gave you this guarantee.
Yeah.
Or you say you sold like 100 some tickets.
Yeah.
And then they pushed free tickets for the rest of the shit.
Yeah.
Right? You know how defeating it is to walk away with just the guarantee when there's fucking 400 people in there?
Yes, I do.
Exactly. So that's the part that like, and it's like, fuck. That hurts the soul.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that feeling. Hmm. Some people may not care about it, but I know for me, it's just when you walk away with that check and it's like, and then the amount of people that were there. And the amount of people that, especially if it was a good show, if the show was good and you like fucking killed it or whatever. Now, granted, yeah, you could bring your merch and stuff like that, but like
your video,
you can video, you can do all that stuff, but like to sit there and like, that feeling is not I don't like that feeling. I don't like it at all. I don't like.
I think you're very fortunate that you have enough places to do it locally that you don't have to take those jobs. Because it sounds like you're pretty busy.
Yeah. I feel like I'm pretty busy. Not as busy as some other people, but I feel like I do, I feel like I do okay.
Yeah.
You know, not where I want to be for sure, but
you're on your way, man.
I feel very blessed and very thankful. Like every day when I wake up in a city, I'm like, man, I'm out here because I do stand-up comedy.
That's
I'm here
awesome.
To make people like laugh.
Yeah.
Even if some people do think I suck, it's like, at least I'm like trying to get better. And, I know this is going to make me better. And that's the thing. Yeah. That show with 12 people. Yeah. I think that made me a better comic.
All right.
I feel like I feel like every time I go do a weekend somewhere, go do a road gig, and it may not be the most people in the audience, but I do at least feel that I'm, becoming a better comic. And
stage
I feel like
time makes you better for sure, right?
It does make you better. And like, I feel like I'm on a level where I'm becoming a better headliner. I feel like I'm getting better as a headliner and carrying my weight for, 50 minutes or 55 minutes. And, cause at first, you're kind of like, okay, I'll make this joke. I'll try to stretch this joke out, make this longer. But now I feel like I have a set to where it's just like, I can comfortably walk through without feeling like, all right, let me do crowd work right here.
Okay.
To kind of fill this like space.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Now I feel like I can walk through with material. Not saying I don't do crowd work. It's fun and whatever, but I'm not the strongest at wanting to like post it, really. You know?
Why not?
I don't know.
Fair enough. Good argument.
Yeah. I think for me, I get excited about, like, not saying I've never posted it. I have posted it and it is fun. I think those are fun moments. You know, but I don't know. I just like the material.
Yeah.
A lot of times I think the toughest part to me of comedy is writing a joke.
Yeah.
Is the hardest part is writing a joke. Whereas like, yeah, like I can, you know, a lot of times, yeah, I can be quick and witty with like, you know, with someone, you know, like the back and forth, because I know at the upper hand, I know I can make it goofy.
Yeah.
You know, or sorry. I know I have the ability to make it goofy, just vibing off what they deliver to me, you know, but I do love a good joke.
Yeah.
A good structured,
makes sense,
well-written joke from like start to finish. That's the fucking,
what website do you go to see your tour dates and stuff?
Oh, what is it? ChappelleLacy.com.
That makes sense.
You got the Lesser Known Characters pod.
I do.
Got your band?
Mad Peaceful, yeah.
Mad Peaceful.
It's always nice when people bring that up.
Chappelle, thanks for being on the show, dude.
Thanks for this cat not scratching me.
They don't all do that. I'm so confused. You got the wrong cat.
Right?
Whoever you met was a mean cat. Most cats are like that.
Yeah, there's a reason why some people choose to keep them as pets.
Yeah.
Really? Like,
yeah, they're pretty cool.
Maybe one day I'll get a cat.
You seem relaxed now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got there.
Yeah, you made it comfortable.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the show, dude.
Oh, thanks.
Everybody, we'll be back next week, and check out Patreon. There's archives now, so there's all this old stuff. There's so much content. It's patreon.com/AliceMate. Don't die.